Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part two of a message titled, Let Us Go On to Maturity. The text is from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 9.
Please open your Bibles again today to Hebrews 5 and 6. While you're turning, let me share with you a couple of things that brought joy to my heart. Recently, I was in New Hampshire preaching over the weekend at Concord. And a number of you are here from that great church, Trinity Baptist. And a layman came up to me, a graduate from here. And he said, let me tell you what happened recently. I was at a business luncheon and sitting at a table making small talk with people there. The guy across from me said, who are you and what do you do? And he said, I'm so-and-so. And he said, it was David Sparkman. He said, look, he said, I'm a lawyer. Well, he said, where'd you go to school? I said, I got my law degree from so-and-so. No, he said, where did you get your undergraduate degree? He said, I got it from Bob Jones University. He said, I thought so. Never met this guy in his life. I thought so. He said, why? Well, he said, I'm a manager of an enterprise car rental unit up here in New England. And formerly, I did the same thing in Virginia Beach. In Virginia Beach, I often had a lot of BJ students and their parents rent cars for me. And he said, I could tell them when they walked in the door. He said, I could tell by just listening to you and looking at you that you had to be a Bob Jones University graduate. That was a rather remarkable encounter. And the graduate was very thankful that he had the kind of testimony for the Lord and for his alma mater. I was talking to a graduate in Washington, D.C. about a week ago. And she works for the deputy secretary of such and such. I won't tell you what cabinet level office she works in. And she works for one of the deputy secretaries in that office. And she's in public relations. She was an RTV major here. And she said, when I applied for this job, she had previously worked on the Hill for several congressmen in public relations. She said, when I applied for this job, they looked at my resume and said, oh, you are a graduate of Bob Jones University. She said, yes. They said, well, you passed the conservative test. They were looking for a conservative in that office. In the Bush administration. She said, my brother, who works for a U.S. Senator on the Hill, when he applied recently to work as an attorney on the staff of that senator, they looked at his resume and said, I see you're a graduate of Bob Jones University. He said, yes. Well, they said, you pass the loyalty test, and we'd like to hire you. Well, I know those two young people very well, and they will live up to those expectations, as I would trust any graduate would live up to the reputation that you take with you from this place into the workforce, knowing that you're a Christian, knowing the kind of education you got. I hope you won't depart therefrom and disappoint those who are looking for people like you. People like you are very scarce, increasingly hard to find. And don't ever be ashamed of the Lord, and don't ever be ashamed of those people who trained you to be an effective servant of the Lord in your field of endeavor. Well, in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, we talked 2 days ago, we preached from Hebrews 6:1 from the phrase, in the middle of that verse, let us go on unto perfection or to maturity. He talked in the last verses of chapter 5 about those believers, those Hebrew believers in this particular church, some of whom could only take milk, some of whom could take meat or solid food. He said all of you should be growing to the place where you can take solid food. And he commented about the fact in verse 12 that evidently these people had formerly been able to take solid food, had gotten away from the Lord, closed their Bibles, shown disinterest in the things of the Lord, had digressed to the point where now they had to be taught all over again. Look at the middle part of verse 12. He said, "Now you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God," that is, of the Scriptures. "You have need of strong meat and not of strong drink. You used to be better than this. You've backslidden. Now we have to start over again with you." And he was very uncharitable, really, but very plain, because he loved them. Paul said, "Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Certainly that is not a mark of an enemy, but of a dear friend who will speak truthfully to you in a spirit of love, but in truthfulness, will tell you what you need to hear. We all need that. And he said, "Truthfully, you're unskillful in the Word of God. You are babies in the Scriptures. And you need to leave the first principles, that is the basics of the Christian faith, and go on to spiritual maturity." In every church, you have those who need milk and those who need strong food, solid food. Blessed is the preacher who can minister to both groups, who doesn't preach so far over the head in order to reach the solid food believers, that he discourages those who are just neophytes, young babes in the faith, and need simple milk, that they might grow to the point that they can have solid food. I want to bring us now to the second part of this message, keeping in mind the title of this is, "Let Us Go On to Maturity." The principle being taught here to these Hebrew believers in this church is that we are to add spiritual discernment to our lives, that we might add it to the body of Christ that we have joined affinity with. Some of you will graduate soon, others of you will leave soon and never return for whatever reason. And sooner or later, the Lord tarries and you remain faithful to the Lord, you will graduate and go on. Others of you will go on. What are you going on to? The plea here is to go on to spiritual maturity. That is in this passage of Scripture. There are several kinds of people here. Those of you who came here dead souls and will graduate and go on as dead souls, that is, unconverted people. Some of you came here as babes in the Scriptures and in the Christian faith, and you have gone on here to spiritual maturity. There are some of you who came here as babes and didn't go on, and you will go on and graduate and go on to spiritual immaturity. And those who came here as babes and went on to spiritual maturity, hopefully, will find you a good church, a good Bible-preaching church that can take you on in the Scriptures to greater spiritual maturity. It's a lifelong process. Never ends. And there are some who came here as babes who went on to spiritual maturity, who when you graduate will go on to careers, will go on to graduate school, will go on to the pursuit of raising a family, and you will backslide as this Hebrew believers in this church had done. You'll backslide. You will not consider going on to spiritual maturity a priority. Because you don't count it a priority, you will not join a church that is capable of taking you to that. You will join a church that is satisfied to teach you truth without applying truth with the kind of demands of that application that will lead you to greater spiritual growth and maturity. There are plenty of churches out there that preach the truth but make no application demands of the truth upon the believers. So a carnal believer can go there and feel real comfortable. We have them like that in Greenville, and you have them like that in your community. It's not that they don't preach right, but the application, the demands of the application that come from the truth are missing. And so carnal people can go there and feel real comfortable not growing to the point that spiritual food is desirable or obtainable. If you have grown here from a baby to spiritual maturity, join a church where you can exercise the growth by applying yourself to help others come to the spiritual maturity and discernment that you have come to. Look at verse 14. Strong meat, solid food, belongs to them who are of full age or mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What do you have there in that last phrase? Those who by reason of use have their senses, their spiritual senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. You have a definition of spiritual maturity. Spiritual mature Christian is one who is a spiritually discerning Christian. The Lord Jesus put it this way in John 7:24, judge righteous judgments. Make spiritual judgments. Discern things spiritually so that you can choose and see clearly between right and wrong, good and evil, heaven and hell, that which is of the Lord and that which is Antichrist. Spiritual discernment. Judgments. You make judgments about what you hear. These are righteous judgments. These are not your personal judgments. If you make a righteous judgment as the Lord said He wants us to, that means you judge things the way He judges them because He is righteous. We are not righteous. Any righteousness we have is imputed righteousness. It's His which He gives to us, which we do not possess. That's what qualifies us to be redeemed and accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. You and I are not righteous. We will never be righteous. We're incapable of making righteous judgments. But when we judge as He judges, and He's declared here what His judgments are, then we judge righteous judgments. We see things the way He sees them, and we come to the same conclusions about them that He does. Paul prayed for the Philippian believers to do this in Philippians 1:9. He said that your love might abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's discernment. That you might know more, that is, to be able to have spiritual food, solid food, not just the basics of the Christian faith, but that you've grown in the knowledge of the Lord through your study of the Scriptures, through being preached to from the Scriptures. You've grown. Now you can take solid food. As a result of that you know, you're able to make spiritual judgments. You've grown in knowledge and in judgment or in discernment. By the way, this makes the focus of love not emotion, but knowledge. You know, the charismatic church, they're all warm and fuzzy and full of feeling and somehow love and feeling, and it's all kind of a nebulous, warm, touchy kind of thing. That's not it at all. The Bible defines the kind of love here as love that leads to knowledge, which leads to discernment. You make spiritual judgments about things. You end up on the Lord's side when a question or a controversy arises. The focus of love is knowledge. Look, if we love someone, we want to know that person. In fact, that's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:7. He says the husband is to dwell with the wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Love seeks to know the object of the love. Don't talk to me about loving Christ if you don't seek to know Christ. It's a lifelong pursuit. More than that, it's an eternal pursuit. That's what our eternity is all about, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul said that I may know Him. If you don't have that passion and that fervor and that interest in you, there's something drastically wrong with you. You're just a little baby and content to stay a little baby in the Christian faith. It's not what the Lord intends for any of us. If a man loves his wife, he wants to know all he can about her so that he can show proper love to her. I'll give you an example. My wife hates strawberries. She calls them hairy little berries. She doesn't like to hear me eat strawberries. They crunch in your, they snap in your mouth. It drives her nuts. Well, when we were first married, newly married, and I was less respectful of her than I should have been, less fearful of her than I am now, at least. I was preaching for a week in Connecticut. She got to go along with me. She very seldom did that in those days. And it was strawberry season in Connecticut, and everybody had fresh strawberries, and we ate every noon and every evening in somebody's home in the church. And the very first meal, the very Monday of noon, we ate in somebody's home. They had fresh strawberries in some form. And I said, "Oh, I love strawberries. We love strawberries." I was playing a trick on her, which wasn't funny to her. Well, the word spread through the church. These folks love strawberries, and this is the season of the year. We had strawberry jello. We had strawberry shortcake. We had strawberry sundaes. We had strawberries every way but fried and boiled. I mean, strawberries every meal. She kicked me under the table. And she muttered things. I sensed it. I mean, she was getting increased. It was a bad week for her, and I made it that way. And I'm sorry if she's here today. I'm sorry. I've repented before. But, you know, to me it was funny. To her, it wasn't funny. But I learned, I got some knowledge that week that to her, strawberries were not only distasteful and horrible, but they were not a subject to be funny about. I gained in the knowledge of her. And now I'm very discerning about what I say or do regarding strawberries around her. My love has grown in knowledge, which has led to discernment in regards to her and strawberries. Discernment comes by practice. That's what verse 14 tells us. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment leads us to recognize the evil, the religious evil, the social evil, the moral evil, political evil, any kind of evil, any kind of wrong, leads us to recognize that, as well as the good. Knowledge of right doctrine or right principle will enable me to recognize and to sense false doctrine or false principle. The church is full of people today who are spiritually ignorant of the Lord. They have no knowledge of the Scriptures. They have no knowledge of who their Savior really is as He's revealed in the Word of God. Therefore, they end up joining forces, making donations to, speaking approvingly of things that are antithetical to the best interests of our Lord. Discernment is the mark of a spiritual person. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "He that is spiritual judgeth or discerns all things, makes judgments about all things. He passes them through the sieve of the Scripture, and if it comes out as scripturally acceptable, then he says, 'I put my approval on that.' If it's not acceptable according to the scriptural pattern, he says, 'I disapprove of that. I don't give to that. I don't join with that. I don't pray for the success of that.' It may sound good. It may talk about Jesus. But scripturally, it doesn't line up. I discern from my knowledge of the Scriptures, from the solid food I have from knowing the Scriptures, I discern that this is not something the Lord approves of, and therefore I don't put my approval on it." Discernment's the mark of spiritual maturity. It's the mark of growth. In 2 Peter 1:5, we heard a wonderful message from Dr. Vaughn about this at Bible Conference. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Well, the knowledge word there has to do with discernment. After you get saved, in faith, now saved, in faith, I add virtue. Moral virtue, moral distinction, moral behavior. I'm not into pornography anymore. I'm not into adultery anymore. I'm not into sexual sin of any kind. I'm not into thievery. I'm not into lying. I'm in the faith. And I get my morals in line with the faith of Jesus Christ that is now in my life. And then I get my discernment lined up. Now that I'm in right moral behavior. I'm in a position to start working on my discernment, my knowledge, as it were. This part that has to be in me if I'm going forward in my Christian life. If you're not growing in discernment, you're not growing forward in your Christian life. There's a man in this room today who's a friend of mine. He and his family grew up in a very liberal denomination. He attended that church for years. After he married, he and his family became a part of that same church. But he began to be passionate about the Scriptures. He stopped being a babe. He started getting some solid food in him from the Scriptures. And he got solid food in him, and he began, through reason of use, to exercise discernment. And he came to the conclusion, maybe the ministers of this church aren't even saved. The truth isn't here. We're not hearing God's truth. And I don't want my children to stay and grow up in a church where they hear religious error. And he took his family out of that church and has become a part of a Bible preaching church in this community. What happened? He began to grow. And as he grew, he began to understand the Scriptures. He began to understand the Scriptures. He began to discern evil or error. And he said, I can see the difference between good and evil here. And I want to align myself with the good. Without discernment, it's impossible for a person to be called spiritually mature. I know a preacher. Some of you know him too. He has a national television program. He claims to have memorized the whole New Testament. But he has zero discernment. Almost every week on television, he promotes the Pope and Catholicism. You'd think he's on the Pope's payroll, by the way he speaks approvingly of all of this. Zero discernment. He may have the New Testament learned, but he's a babe. He hasn't exercised his senses that he might grow to discern both good and evil. A baby doesn't know a snake from a pussycat. A baby, an infant, would just as soon play with one as the other. A baby finds them both fascinating. There's no discernment there to make distinction between good and evil, helpful and harmful. A baby will just as soon play with a colorful dancing flame as with a shiny toy. Can't discern the difference. Doesn't know what will help and what will hurt. No discernment. Hasn't grown to that point yet. Verse 6 of chapter 6. Verse 6, look at it again. Let us go on unto maturity. Leave the basic doctrines. Leave the threshold, the entrance into eternal life. Christ says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There are people in this room that have entered in, but you've stayed at the threshold. The admonition of the Scripture is, let's go on. It's not God's will to just stay in the threshold, but to enjoy all the blessings and the good things that He has prepared for them who love Him in the household of faith. How we're robbing ourselves to be content just to be a baby and to know the basic simple things. We weren't saved just to do that. We were saved that in Christ we should be complete in all things, grown up unto Him. Verse 6 of chapter 6 gives us a somber warning of what happens if we don't do that. It's not just a matter of, well, I will or I won't and I have the option. No, it says you really don't have the option of remaining at the threshold. Nobody remains at the threshold. That's the whole point of this passage. You may think you can. And you say, I'm content just to be saved and know that much of the Lord. The Bible says that's impossible. It's impossible. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened, saved, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. If that doesn't describe a saved person, then I don't know how you would describe one. It's talking about saved people. Impossible for saved people who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, that is, the excellencies of the eternal. Impossible for those who've tasted of that. If they shall fall away. Parapito is the Greek word there. It means to slip aside. It means to wander from the worship of God. It is impossible if you've been saved and you slip away from the worship of God to renew them again unto a repentance, seeing they crucify afresh to themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame or to a public disgrace. He said, what's going to happen is you're going to keep on slipping until the point you don't care anymore about developing a growing relationship with the Lord where the solid food can nourish and thrill your soul. Where that which you have tasted of eternal things will matter again. You'll get to the point where it just doesn't matter to you anymore. And it's impossible when a person gets to that point to bring them back to even an immature Christian walk. He said, now you haven't gone that far. You have slipped away. But before you get to this point, start growing again. Because when you get to a certain point, you can't grow again because you won't grow again. You don't care about it. He says there's serious potential consequences waiting for any of us who won't go on to maturity. If you sit in the student body of Bob Jones University and you're not going on into spiritual maturity, just a little baby, you just stayed a little baby, no spiritual discernment, don't know what's hurtful, don't know what's harmful, don't really care about knowing one way or the other, if you're content to have it that way now, what makes you think when you graduate it's going to be any different? Obviously, it won't be any different. If you're spiritually immature today, I'll tell you what exactly is going to happen to you when you graduate. You're going to go out and you're going to find some compromising carnal church that will preach a message that you can say, I'm under sound preaching, but will tolerate the most ludicrous, worldly, carnal behavior. And that's what you're going to join. There are churches like that in Greenville, and there are churches all over the country, as I said, that are just like that. Put no pressure for growth, no pressure for application of the Scripture on anybody. Just very happy to have a church full of carnal, immature believers under sound teaching. Sound teaching will not guarantee anything if the will of the heart is not to apply the truth that you're hearing so the life is grown thereby. And if you're content to be that kind of person, you're going to find a church just like that. And at some point, because you're not growing, you're going to start going on backwards. You're either going on to spiritual maturity or you're going on backwards to an eventual point where if God doesn't get hold of you, you're not going to care anymore at all. It's going to be of no consequence to you whether the Lord approves, whether you have any love or interest in Him. You're just going to be so totally in love with yourself and so totally in love with the world that the love of Christ is the most foreign thing to you in the world about which you care nothing. I pray that you sit in Bob Jones University today with a heart that desires to go on to spiritual maturity. If you don't have it here, Unless the Lord intersects your life and drastically changes it, you're not going to get it later. And if you sense your spiritual coldness, if you sense your lack of discernment, your approval of accepting things that the Bible rejects and that are anti-Christ, and you don't know the difference, and if you're in this spiritual fog and you're just content to stay in that fog and in this immaturity and content to be in this maturity, just remember, the Bible says there's going to come a point where it is impossible for you to ever want it to be any other way. But even as it was not too late for this church to want it to be another way, I believe for most of you it is not too late for you to want it to be another way. And I pray that as we bow our heads right now and close this service, you'll ask the Lord, you'll make a covenant with the Lord. Lord, I'm not content to stay a spiritual babe. I want to go on as you've told me I must. Let's pray together with our heads bowed. Before we pray, leave your books and personal belongings alone for just a moment, would you? And enter into the sanctuary of the heavenly. What are you telling the Lord right now about your commitment to pursue Him, the knowledge of Christ? To say, Lord, I understand that I can't stay a spiritual babe. I'm either going on to maturity or I'm going on away from you completely. I don't want to do that, Lord. I want to go on to maturity. I want to tell you, Lord, to know you is what I want for my life. And I'll exercise myself therein. Father, come upon the hearts and minds of many here who are babies in you and have never understood before the mandate that you want us to be growing till we can take solid food and exercise our understanding that we get from that food so that we can judge things as you judge them and end up on the side where you are in everything. Father, this is what you want from us.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette tape containing both parts of the message, Let Us Go On to Maturity, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.